iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobalNews.com.
The iMoney Show on iGlobal Radio. Brought to you by iGlobalNews.com.
Hello and welcome to iGlobal Radio. This is the iMoney Show and I'm Tony Patti. Today I'm joined by a very, very professional, astute gentleman by the name of Deepak Verghese, who is the Vice President, Structured Assets and Member Managing Committee of Zolo Stays, InvestCorp, Nexus Ventures and Mirae Assets Backed, $100 million funded startup in the co-living segment. Zolo is the leading operator in the co-living space, founded in 2015 with nearly 50,000 beds backed by PE funds of international repute and raised Series C funding of $56 million in June 2020. Deepak joined Zolo as a talent hire to set up and lead the acquisition of assets exceeding 100,000 square feet for operations from developers by structuring exit for real estate developments by retail, unit and fractional, and UHNI investors who would go on to be the asset owners for yield. Prior to this, Deepak was the Chief Business Officer of Puravankara Limited, a listed real estate developer involved in structuring equity-led platform transactions, besides collaborating with co-living and senior care players to create new asset classes, the aid velocity of sales and the space of managed residences. Deepak has more than 25 years of experience in retail and private banking, structured debt and equity financing, having worked with Bank of America, ANZ Grindlays Bank, ABN AMRO Bank and ICICI Bank in Mumbai, Delhi, Dubai, London and Singapore. So with such a stellar and professional background, it's only right that we should be talking to him today right here on the iMoney Show. Deepak, a very warm welcome to you.
Thank you very much, Tony, and welcome to all the listeners of iMoney. Thank you for this lovely introduction.
What an incredible background you have in banking and commerce. I find it quite staggering and mind-blowing with the fantastic experience you've had in raising so much capital for so much companies. Give us a little bit of background to that.
Well, it happened by chance. I started off as a conventional banker. And as banks go on, they keep throwing you into corners and they throw new challenges at you. And that is what life experience is all about. So from Bangalore to Mumbai to Delhi, raising money, going to Dubai, having worked with ICICI and London, having understood the European and the British Indians besides Britishers, investing and the cause of investing. It's been a lovely experience. And I'm so happy to share this with various firms and bring out the best in investing in real estate and asset classes.
So that's what we're going to be learning about today. We're going to be learning about looking at Indian real estate investments and the impact of COVID on commercial, residential and retail asset classes. We're going to be learning about long-term views on these assets and the impact on Indian REIT valuations, and also the outlook of borrowing in rupees and the emerging trends in the markets and investing in India in real estate is what we're going to be learning about today. So let's kick off then. Deepak, as far as COVID is concerned, we're into a very serious time right now, particularly in India, from what we're learning from the media. And as far as the commercial, resident and retail asset classes are concerned, how have they been impacted by the COVID crisis right now?
Tony, there was a legal clause that most of the investors weren't aware when COVID hit last year. And suddenly everybody talks about force majeure. You know, that is now a clause to go by. And then people ran around defining force majeure, and many of them figured that there wasn't the word pandemic, which you never thought was going to hit you. So from there to now, when you thought the first wave went by and you kind of escaped the first wave, there comes the second wave with a bang, and there comes force majeure all over again when you thought you were limping back to reality. But from an investor's outlook, if you were to look at the asset class, and I'm going to take commercial real estate first, because most of the Indians, or at least the high net worth Indians, besides having a second and a third home that they invest in, the yielding assets are typically commercial real estate assets. And when these calls came on force majeure, when your tenant said, you know, I'm going to leave if you don't renegotiate and you don't give me 20-30% lesser rent, a lot of them went into a tizzy because this had never happened before. It's the first time. But when you look at the performance of the technology companies from India over the last 12 months, the results have been stellar. There's been growth.
Deepak, you talk about very nicely, you've explained that so well, about people getting into panic mode in the pandemic and the impact that it's had. But what you are also suggesting here in a very logical way is that it's not going to last forever. There is growth, and whether it lasts 6 months, 8 months to a year, as you mentioned, there will be growth irrespective of what's going on around us. And just give us a bit of a brief on that for a moment, if you will, because you talk about growth. I look at growth financially. I look at the country's GDP, and I look at growth for people living, earning, and consuming products in the country, in India, essentially.
Absolutely. From a macroeconomic perspective, India is a market for consumption. So which is why when you look at the GDP growth rate forecasts, you're seeing forecasts which started off this year saying 11, 11.5. Then you've had a series of downgrades. But you're still looking at 9% of GDP growth in a pandemic year of 2021-22. I mean, that is no small number. If you were to map it against any of the fastest growing numbers, you're still number one or number two at the worst case. Yeah, and that's growth for you. And therefore, if you're betting on this market, I mean, this market is the first, the second or the third market that you have to remain invested in. You look at Indian exports in software. You look at exports of talent. You look at a lot of outsourcing of work which comes into India. You're looking at data centers. You're looking at deep data. You're looking at coding programming. You're looking at software. At the end of the day, it's not fixing a bug. It's delivering a whole solution. And that's the way the businesses have morphed and their marketplace equivalent across the globe. You've got cutting edge. I mean, just look at our vaccines coming out. So I'm going to stop at the brands, but that's what growth is all about.
We are talking to Deepak Burgess, who is talking about investment in India. We're going to be talking about real estate investments as well in just a moment.
iGlobal Radio, brought to you by iGlobalNews.com.
Deepak, what is the long-term view on assets, on these assets? You mentioned that people who had invested, and as soon as COVID hit, you had the first wave, then second wave came along, a bit of panic did set in. But as far as the long-term view is concerned, what kind of growth and how quickly will this growth take place? And the long-term view as far as people's assets are concerned?
India has been on a growth phase despite world economy slowing down across many countries. And if you look at the pandemic, it's hit the world across. It has transformed the way people work, the way people think, the way people bring products out to the marketplace. And this is across the board, whether it's manufacturing, whether it's technology, whether it's fintech, whether it's edutech. So if you look at across these sectors, these have been rocket numbers. I mean, you're looking at billion-dollar valuations, and if you look at the number of companies coming in this technology and digital space out of India, it's massive. Now, these companies, while you may say that there is going to be a lot of work from home, in the short term, you've got pandemic, which is going to get people working from home, there is demand for residences, which has gone up. So if you look at the residential market, especially on products which have been ready, it's been one of the best markets for Indian real estate in the residential sector for at least the last 5 years. Because people who deferred making their purchases because of COVID said, no, I want my own house. I want to move into my own house. I want safety for my family. I want a larger house. I want to have a study. I want to have a place of work. My wife is working. My kid's going to school online.
Yeah.
I need to consume higher digital bandwidth. We need our privacy. So at the end of the day, it did very well in the residential market. So actually stocks flew off the shelves. So from an investment perspective, for self-consumption, it's a great time to enjoy a great home. But now let's look at investing. And investing in the real estate market across global markets is long play. It's not short play. So when you look at the life of this asset class, when you look at the first world countries, you talk about medium term being anywhere between 7 to 10, 11 years. In India, medium term used to be historically shorter at 3 years and 4 years. But the investors have actually brought that 5, 7, 8 year culture. And therefore, when we are looking at investing in commercial real estate in the medium term, what you're looking at is a hiccup, because look at your time horizon as 8 to 9 years. With Indian companies growing and growing at this pace, at the end of the day, they are going to consume more commercial real estate, and there's going to be a space in the market for that. As you consume commercial real estate, you will consume residential real estate, and therefore it's going to be symbiotic growth. And one of the newest sectors that we've seen rapid growth is the warehouse sector, which is running on the back of the logistics sector as people sit home. So right across, I mean, I clearly see growth. Now, the question is, when do you see a point when you can encash your growth? I think is a very important question that people want to hear about. And I think that view is somewhere in the fourth, fifth, seventh year is your potential exit point for what you actually entered the marketplace as returns.
We're talking to Deepak Verghese, and with his stellar background in investments and real estate. And we're talking about investments in India as well and what positive news he's given us so far.
iGlobal Radio, brought to you by iGlobalNews.com.
So we've had some truly inspiring words from you there, Deepak, for which I'm very excited about knowing more about. But as far as the Indian REIT valuations are concerned, and as far as assets are concerned, where do we stand with that particular situation right now?
In fact, the Indian REIT market is something which has been brewing and in a very nascent stage for 4 to 5 years, singularly because these are breaking products. India has never had a history of REIT. We've had to look overseas. We've had to look at Singapore. We've had to look at the US markets, the British markets. Look at how they're listed. What are the laws that govern these? What do you write when you actually take a product from a developer and a private equity fund manager, put it in, and then distribute it and list it? That whole process has taken us three and a half years. And I must say that Embassy REIT was one of the first REITs. Quite a courageous one and a singular journey that they've kind of paved a path for us and got $1 billion listed in there with on the exchange. Now, the second one that followed was Raheja, which also got listed in there. Now, a lot of people said that, you know, REIT is going to wobble, force majeure is going to, you know, scare this market. At the end of the market's still standing out there. And if one were to even look at the Indian stock exchange and the markets, the markets are barely falling in there. If you see, there was a blip which happened for about 6 months last year because it was complete unknown zone. The second one, the second wave, despite it being harder, it actually reflects the view of the investors saying that this market's coming back. Don't panic. Stay in there. You're investing. If you're going to see a blip in that return, you don't have to show it in there because it's a one-year blip. It's an 18-month blip. The product is an 8-9 year product. So stay the course and you're fine.
Very interesting. So as far as real estate investment trusts are concerned, REIT-owned real estate located in various states of India is a very important part of India and its economy and local communities as well. Through the properties that people own, finance and operations, REITs are really the real estate working for people. Am I correct in saying that? And also, as far as real estate is concerned, investment trusts are concerned, the companies that own them and the operators and the finances, are they actually income-producing real estate situations?
Absolutely, Tony. These are income-producing assets. They are a mix of commercial assets. Some of them even have hotel assets inside them. They are income-producing assets. Also, as per the Indian rules of investment trust, you have small proportion of assets, sub 20% of the total corpus, which goes into assets which are still getting finished and being brought into the marketplace. So it's a mix between ready delivery earning assets and assets which are almost complete and are going to find new tenants which are coming. Now, at the end of the day, when you look at the real estate sector in India, historically, it was never an industry per se. But of late, the recognition it's been getting is that real estate touches every single sector, whether it's cement, whether it's steel, whether it's labor, whether it's consumption in the hyper-local, whether it is the restaurant business that comes into the tech parks. I mean, it is moving a whole bunch of people into one density location and transforming that location itself. And it's pioneering. It's REIT today. And what we are beginning to see as a breakthrough is fractional investing.
We are talking to Deepak Varghese, and we are talking about retail investment and REITs in India. What about the outlook as far as borrowing in rupees is concerned? Where do we go from here? And investments, and what's the outlook on yields? We're going to be learning all about that in just a moment.
iGlobal Radio, brought to you by iGlobalNews.com.
So, Deepak, as far as the outlook on borrowing is concerned in rupees to fund these property investments that we've spoken about and you've detailed so well a moment ago, what's the outlook on yields after currency depreciation? Because the currency has been depreciating, it's been rising and falling. We're also into digital currencies these days. Where does India stand on this particular aspect?
Excellent question, Tony. And we are now looking at two aspects, which you just painted on. One is the interest rate curve or the interest rates where it stands at. And the second is the performance of the Indian rupee. So let me take them piece by piece. If you look at the interest rates are sitting at historical lows. Mortgage rates of sub 7% are rates that we haven't seen for over 15 years. And these rates, even 15 years ago, barely touched that point for 6 months and rebounded to the 9, 10, 11%. And we are seeing these rates actually hold position. And as a function of inflation and these rates, and with the RBI signaling, given the current circumstances, it is some time before these rates start climbing again. India is no longer a small economy. And therefore, if one were to speculate, and I'm probably going to take a position over here, is that over the next 5 years, you are going to see a stable credit regime which is going to come out, which only goes to show that as an economy, you're a far greater stable, managed fiscally economy from where you are. So your rate fluctuation, if I may hazard a guess, probably looks like 7.5, 8.5, which again are very, very sustainable rates linked to inflation, linked to appreciation.
It's a very good yield, isn't it?
So Tony, that is the federal government and RBI enforcing discipline, fiscal discipline on the states. Mm. Because at the end of the day, the states have to stand on their own feet and start having a balanced budget. You cannot get into deficit funding by either running to the federal government and say, I'm running short of money, or dipping into borrowing and printing fresh money, or going to RBI and saying, you know, can I have a line against this, which I'm going to pay you over a period of time? So that is the right direction, because only when you start having stable states, overall, as a country, will you start seeing that equalization.
Deepak, recently, the Reserve Bank of India kept the policy rates unchanged, which actually met market expectations. Surely that is showing to us fiscally that there is stability as far as the rupee is concerned.
Absolutely, Tony. I think it's a sign of fiscal maturity, of alignment between RBI, the markets, the governance of the money, the thought process that happens in the Ministry of Finance. And at the end of the day, I think it's all of these pieces coming in together.
We're talking to Deepak Varghese, and fantastic insight into investment in India, particularly retail, real estate investments as well. I'm going to be asking Deepak about emerging trends of investing in India and real estate in just a moment, and something we're all very excited to know and learn about.
iGlobal Radio, brought to you by iGlobalNews.com.
So Deepak, as far as the emerging trends in India are concerned, apart from what you've already told us in such great detail, investing in India in real estate, is it a good thing or a bad thing? And what should we be looking at, whether we are a small individual investor or a large conglomerate?
Excellent question, Tony. And India and Indians have a love for real estate. I mean, there is an aspiration in every household. Either you own a piece of land or you own something which is related to land. And as the global Indian has emerged, so whether you've gone overseas or you've become a traveler or at whatever state, you're either buying in physical real estate, and now the trend is to buy in digital real estate. So the latest trend which is emerging is fractional investing. So we've seen firms which break up a large block, a million square feet, and sell that for tickets as low as £20,000, £25,000. So you've got multiple owners who've bought a coupon in which the asset is held in an entity where they're all participant shareholders or an association of people who are holding it. And you can have one large tenant and one large company that owns, and the yield is returned to everybody. And this is beginning to appear on the horizon from last year, for the last 2 years, starting with small deals of 100,000 square feet to probably a million square feet, which we're beginning to see. And we expect this to continue growing because it saves you the hassles of going to a subracer office, doing a title due diligence. You've got expert firms coming in who are giving you your title checks, saves you the hassles. Plus, you're now a collective. So the strength is in your collective. The strength is in what your little penny put together can buy as a large asset and a stellar client who's your tenant.
Thank you for listening to iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. Find out more on iGlobalNews.com.
Deepak, with your background in structured assets and member managing committees of Zolo Stays and various other companies that you've got under your belt and successfully managed and brought up to such an exceptional level, if people want to find out more about what you do and also investing in India, how do they go about finding out more about it? And can they get in touch with you, for example?
So, from a Zolo perspective, I'm very happy to speak to investors in asset classes which give you returns. And I'm happy to take those calls. And if Zolo doesn't have those assets, I'm quite happy to help them see the right direction of where they want to buy the other assets. At the end of the day, I have been a non-resident Indian. I understand the fraternity. I understand their concerns. And I've been a returning Indian twice now in my career, and I'm happy to help the community because it's good for the marketplace. It's good for all of us to have a good reputation and community of investors who are well-educated, understand the risks, and it's up to us to share what we have. So happy to do that.
And how do people get in touch with you?
So I'm happy to take these on my email at deepak@zolostays.com. Do write in to me, and I'm happy to write back to you.
iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iGlobalNews.com. iGlobalNews.com.
Please note, past performance is not a guarantee of future performance. All investments can fall as well as rise in value, and you can lose some or all of your money. Additionally, this podcast does not constitute an investment recommendation.